This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. So the Pamerkasa Plus aid package includes several initiatives to ease the impact of the total lockdown for the economically vulnerable. These include things like additional cash aid totaling 2.1 billion ringgit, which will be distributed to households under the Bantuan Prihatin Rakyat scheme, one-off cash payments of 500 ringgits to tour operators, bus drivers, taxi drivers and even e-hailing or rental car drivers, and an increase of 500 ringgit in the Prihatin special grant for micro-entrepreneurs and SMEs.
And of course, there are concerns that these forms of aid do not go far enough, given that the direct fiscal injection amounts to only 5 billion ringgit and also come in the form of one-off payments. So how much cushion does Pamerkasa Plus actually provide for the B40? And I'm also thinking about the M40, right, and what gaps need to be addressed.
For some thoughts on this, we're speaking this morning with Dr. Juwita Mohamed, fellow at the Institute of Strategic and International Studies, Malaysia. Juwita, thank you so much for joining us today. So the government previously reasoned that a total lockdown could not be imposed because of the impact on the most economically vulnerable. But now that a total lockdown has been put in place for at least 2 weeks, does the Pamerkasa Plus aid package adequately address the pain points for the B40 community in particular?
Hello, everyone. With the Pamerkasa Plus stimulus package just announced, we saw that out of the total 40 billion ringgit allocation for this particular economic assistance, we saw that only 13% or about 5 billion ringgit is actually represented by direct government spending. So to see it as a whole, the Malaysian government has actually only allocated about 5% of GDP, around 73 billion ringgit in, again, direct federal government spending across different major programs since the beginning of last year. So again, we see what is different or what is featured in the stimulus package is particularly on the extension of loan moratoriums. They are still available for businesses and individuals. Microcredits and also grants are available for SMEs. And we also see that wage subsidies and also cash transfers have been extended for a month and topped up a bit. While these measures are very much welcome, the relief is made to put more cash into the hands of the vulnerable groups and the B40 households. And my short answer to that question would be the effectiveness of the one-off cash transfer is influenced by the length of these lockdown. And the longer the lockdown is, the more households would need in a month as a form of either income support or income substitution measure.
Right. So, Juwita, out of the 5 billion direct fiscal injection, as we've noted, 2.1 billion is for cash aid for the B40. Now, you've also noted that time is a key factor here, but based on the 2-week lockdown that we're currently talking about, does this cash assistance go far enough to provide a cushion for lower income groups?
So, again, I mentioned before, the longer the lockdown, the more the affected households would need, either due to job losses or reduced working hour. A short write-up by my colleague on cash transfers highlighted that as of now, the assistance received is still below the 20% of the expenditure threshold. A more realistic and sustainable approach is actually by having a more permanent social safety net instead of just a temporary cash transfer measure, which is a very reactive policy, which is a very reactive as we think that a more proactive approach is needed. We need a more permanent framework targeting vulnerable households, especially when their livelihoods are affected when these shocks happen. And in this case, it would be the pandemic.
The Permakasa Plus program, as it is, does not address the needs of the M40 group. What kind of aid should we consider for the M40, especially those on the margin between M40 and B40?
That is a good question. Needless to say, all groups are impacted negatively by the pandemic. It is just a matter of intensities. So with limited resources, I understand why the focus is mostly on B40. The B40 group is classified as vulnerable as they are living in the brink of poverty or in poverty. An additional shock like the pandemic will push them further into poverty if they're being let go by their employers, and this may push them and their families out of their homes. This then would lead to other social and health issues. And this is why more efforts are being targeted for this vulnerable group. Nevertheless, the pandemic may also push the lower middle income group into poverty as unemployment increases and skilled and also unskilled jobs are both scarce. For the M40, access to healthcare and childcare can go a long way, especially when both spouses are working. The option for moratoriums will ease the burden of new homeowners or also vehicle owners, but with limited resources, not everyone will be eligible to receive the one-off cash transfers, for example.
Now, speaking of job retention, right, Juita, I mean, the Permakasa Plus package does extend the wage subsidy program for a month, as well as providing one-off assistance for certain occupations like tour drivers, bus drivers, etc. Do you think this will have much of an impact in preserving those B40 jobs?
So previously, our lockdown lasted for about 2.5 months last year. And this time around, the longer the lockdown is implemented, we would need the wage subsidy to be in parallel with extension of the lockdown length. When firms are in survival mode and are on the brink of bankruptcy, it needs and it will shed off its workers. We saw that the longer the pandemic is uncontained, the more firms and businesses will go bust. Wage subsidies are, again, only for those in the formal sector. What about the informal sector, where more than 60% of our workforce is placed in? So again, it is very much needed what the measures are trying to introduce, but without a strong, healthy demand from the market, the survival of the sector will not be sustainable.
Now, Juita, the focus of Permakasa Plus is, of course, on the economic needs of the people. But is there enough attention overall being given to the education and welfare part with regards to the B40? And how might this be impacted under the total lockdown?
The previous aids were aimed to strengthen the healthcare system as a whole. And this was mainly targeted for the vaccination rollout program and for the increase or the rise to contain the COVID cases. So even before the COVID pandemic, the education sector remains to be one of the biggest benefactors from the annual budget. There has been initiatives to upskill and reskill workers through strengthening TVET programs, but as Permakasa Plus is more of, you know, a reactive stimulus package to help Malaysians weather the COVID storm, education is not the central focus of the Permakasa Plus, unfortunately. For such a target, the government usually parks it under our yearly budget, where a bigger allocation is given for education, for example.
Juita, thanks so much for joining us this morning. That was Dr. Juita Mohamed, fellow at the Institute of Strategic and International Studies, Malaysia, talking to us about the Permakasa Plus aid package, which has been announced, and giving us a gauge of whether or not it really adequately cushions the impact of this lockdown for the B40 community. And I think what it really boils down to is that perhaps for the very, very short term, but you know, historically, we've seen these MCOs go on for definitely more than 2 weeks, right? The government announces it and then extends it for another 2 weeks and then another 2 weeks. So the longer this goes on, as Jurita pointed out, the more these communities are going to need in terms of cash assistance in order to survive. And even on just that front, it's not going to be enough.
Yeah, so it's also not a question of how much is going to be spent, but whether it is really going to the people who truly need it. And also, you know, just a complete review of the kind of aid that the most vulnerable are receiving. We also want to make sure there is no duplication of aid giving as well. But I think it all comes down to this. We do need a more sustainable and more permanent social protection framework to ensure the B40 are protected and also those living in the margin.
And right now, though, we are heading into the 8 o'clock news bulletin. And then after that, we're going to be heading into the Breakfast Grill, where Philip C will be speaking with John Danielson, Director of the Systemic Risk Centre at the London School of Economics. So be sure to stay tuned for that after the news, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.